What's that?
I say my rapier wit. It's a gift, but it's also a curse. It's a gift in that I can always amuse anyone I'm with, but it's a curse in that I'm offered slots here on FMU and feel obliged to do shows.
Well, that's not the curse part. The curse part is that you have no patience at all for anybody who's not as funny as you are.
Exactly.
Yeah, you need that.
Yeah, whatever.
Now, if you didn't need an audience, then it wouldn't be a curse.
I know. But I hate people, but I love making them laugh.
Yeah.
Explain that.
I can't.
Oh, what a fix I'm in. But at least I don't have to replace a missing tile in the studio. That's your job.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, I will.
Will you stand there for the next week?
I mean, in lieu of a yellow cone?
Yeah.
I mean, as being a yellow cone? We get to the studio. There's a tile in the floor missing.
Bob, come back. You left the CD. Go on. Continue with your story.
It's not much of a story, really.
Yeah. It's all we got, though. Tell the tile story. The tile story, because we have no foreplay.
Okay.
Tell your boring tile story.
Ken was so mad at the missing tile that he just stood there and just started urinating on the spot. I hate you, missing tile. I pee on thee. That was Ken trying to be witty. But, you know, it's very funny. We laugh, and now we have this giant urine stain. Anyway, not much of a tile story. Thanks for letting me tell it, though.
Carla, will you grab Bob? He left a CD in here.
Yeah. Is it a Sandy Denny CD?
No.
Paul Revere and the Raiders?
Nope. Try again.
If I guess the CD, will you do a little clog dance?
If you guess the artist on this CD, I will give you $1,000.
Okay.
You have an unlimited number of guesses.
Okay. Is the lead singer's name in this group Herman Noon?
I don't know. No. I doubt it.
All right. I'm ready. Loggins and Messina.
No.
Wait. No. Buffalo Springfield. I know he was playing that.
Nope.
Oh, I give up. What is it, Bob?
Don't tell me,
Bob. Tell me now.
It's the Etchingham Steam Band.
The Etchingham. Okay, wait. I'm ready with my final guess.
Go ahead.
Steam Club, Steam Group. No, Steam Band. The Etchingham Steam Band. That's my final guess.
I just told you.
Huh? I wasn't listening, I swear. I'm on ecstasy. I swear, I'm on ecstasy. I wasn't paying attention.
What's it like? I've never tried ecstasy.
It's you know what?
Is it like a good 7 second delay?
It's the same as going through life sober and straight. Except you are much funnier. I love this drug.
It's the only drug you've ever tried, I believe.
I've never been stoned, never done any drug. The closest I've ever done to getting stoned or any buzz at all is the last time I had root canal, my dentist used gas.
That's being stoned.
I guess it is.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie to you, it was not unpleasant, but that's as close as I've come.
But I understand that if you have gas, you feel the pain, but you just don't care. Is that accurate?
Yes.
You felt the pain.
I was in and out of consciousness. I think I was mostly unconscious, but when I was conscious, it didn't bother me. Although I knew it was it should.
Hmm.
And I remember they were playing your show, and I just thought you were hysterical. So it was kind of like an ecstasy-ish experience in that way. So this is not a pre-recorded show. We just came from one. We're banking some shows because I have a life even more.
Yeah, because you're going to become a professor of comedy
at Columbia University.
Because those that can't do teach.
That's me, my friend.
what is it?
That's my T-shirt. That's what it says.
What is it that made you conclude that you can't do?
I had a little movie called Rat Race.
11.8 million.
Actually, I believe it was 11.7 million last weekend. To be accurate, yeah, it didn't set any records. It set a record for an Andy Brecker movie.
Yeah, it probably is.
So that's something.
That's good. You're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, thank you, Ken.
Congratulations.
Yeah, 8 or 9 more of these movies that I'll be able to open a big movie. But I understand it's actually doing well yesterday, and it's doing well on Monday. So it might actually have the patient might have a pulse.
Oh, keep dreaming.
I know. I'm sorry.
Has anything else had legs this entire summer?
No. Shrek? No, everyone's actually kind of optimistic. They feel the movie, you know, people, when they're in the movie, they like it. It's just getting them to the movie. The marketing campaign seemed to be putting people off. It might be the Afro whores. I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
The Afro whore joke in the trailer.
Yep, that was it.
You should have warned me.
I did warn you.
You should have said, I find that offensive.
I warned you, people.
You did?
Yes.
I thought you were joking.
I turned your microphone off.
That's right. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm kicking myself. Yes, you turned my microphone.
Not only did you put it in the movie, but then they put it in the trailer.
And it scared parents away.
Right.
But the idea was, if you don't mind me talking about it, I know that you have rules at FMU about talking about projects that you might benefit from, but I swear to you, I won't see a nickel from this ever. The idea for the Afro Whores joke in the trailer was that it might attract teenagers because it would show that the movie's a little edgy,
uh-huh,
a little hip, what we call hip, Ken, groovy. With it, fat. Not F-A-T, fat, P-H-A-T.
They should have, if they wanted to attract teenagers, they should have showed the nipple piercing scene.
Well, that had a naked lady in it.
No, but you didn't see her on the screen.
They put the transvestite Lucy in.
It was a bad trailer, I gotta say.
Yeah, it didn't do the movie justice.
Fire the trailer maker.
I will. Should I do it now on the air?
Yeah.
Would you like his number? That?
Yeah.
I actually probably could track him down.
Let's call the person who cut the trailer.
No, that would be terrible.
Why?
Because I would like someday, perhaps, maybe, to work in that town again.
Oh, and the trailer maker is so powerful.
I don't want to be the guy, hey, don't piss Andy off. You know what he does? Calls you on the air and fires you or reams you out on the air.
Well, maybe
that's a bad rep. Maybe, that's what we call a bad rep.
Maybe the guy who cuts your next trailer will, you know, be more careful.
Actually, they worked very hard. They actually had a real challenge. It was a tough movie.
Oh, yeah.
Tough movie to make a trailer.
Hard to make a trailer.
It is. It is hard to make a good trailer these days.
Because
teenagers are so stupid. They're sheep. You know what I did Friday night? I was just standing by a box office
window. That's what I heard.
And I was just watching teenagers lining up for American Pie 2. Oh, I just want to take a machine gun.
And shoot yourself or them?
I was alternating between the two. I could see the argument for both.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Lord. So that was my stupid, pathetic career. The only thing I have going for me, I guess, is I won't spend tonight replacing a tile in this production studio.
You won't. That's great.
That will be you.
So you are going to stand there to make sure nobody breaks any other tiles.
You're concerned that one tile loose, that's like Giuliani's theory of the broken windows. One broken window, if you don't replace it, you come back next week, 8 broken windows.
No, see, Andy, every tile next to that one.
Exactly.
Will start cracking as people roll over. See? So yeah. There's...
Why did you just tear up all the tiles?
8 tiles.
I understand the theory. You don't have to explain it over and over. So you feel you have to replace this tile. You're the floor guy.
I'm the floor guy.
Wow.
I do feel like unless you will stand there for the next week.
I can't promise you I will stand there for the next week. Unless you can promise me the same kind of attention that you got Glenn Jones when he was on the air for a week.
Done. Done and done.
You will call Guinness and the press if I stand there for a week?
Well, I'll arrange something.
who's gonna work on the floor and replace all the tiles at your new lakefront house?
I don't have a new lakefront house.
I'll guess you haven't closed yet legally.
I haven't found anything.
Yeah. Nothing that will suit your needs.
Who's replacing the tiles in your swimming pool? I know you redo the tiles in there once a year, just for the hell of it. Just to use up your excess cash.
Yeah, that's right.
Laying around.
Exactly. We have tile boys come in.
Yeah.
They can hold their breath for like 10, 15 minutes.
Wow.
I love watching them. It's almost time to call the tile boys. Thanks for reminding me.
No problem.
So
wait, you replaced the tiles last May. Why are you doing it again now?
Just I love to see the tile boys swimming around. Like little fish. Little Mexican fish.
It must be nice to have enough money to retile your swimming pool twice a year.
It's a gift and a curse. A gift and a curse.
What's the curse part? I don't see any downside.
Oh, come around next marathon. There's a downside.
You need tax breaks. What are you talking about?
Look, you always talk about how I have money. Have you seen the receipts for Rat Race?
My
career is in the crapper. It's called in the crapper. The only question on the table now is, will the crapper be flushed or will it just sit
in the crapper? Oh, it's in the crapper. Last I heard, it was the third top grossing movie in America.
Well, that's not what you want.
Third. Oh, it's got to be.
That's not what you want.
It's got to be number one.
It should be number one. If you were hiring a writer, if you were hiring a comedy writer and you looked at the grosses from last weekend, wouldn't you say, who wrote that American Pie movie? Who wrote that Rush Hour movie? I would be the third guy on their list. I'm not. My phone's not ringing.
So it's got to be number one. If you're not number one, you're in the crapper.
It's a very competitive business, and I'm an old guy in that business. There are young Turks, you know.
Start writing stupid teenage sex comedies.
We should have called instead of Rat Race. I actually feel bad because Rat Race was the title I thought of, and I actually argued for it, fought for it, and now I think it might be part of the problem. It's not a great title.
I suggested stupid teenage sex comedy.
Yeah.
You thought I was crazy.
Yeah. Rat Getting Laid Race, maybe. Oh, Lord. Rat Race 2. They love sequels. The idiots. The teenagers. I call them the sheep. You see them in the lobbies of your neighborhood theater. The sheep.
Are they
what is the hit movie this week?
Are they talking about Rat Race 2?
Yeah, they're talking about it. The phrase dodging a bullet comes up. Are they talking about Rat Race 2?
Oh, good job on the Orrin Hatch song, by the way. I know that you felt that you had to buy Orrin Hatch's support for some reason.
The director of Rat Race is...
He's a big Orrin Hatch fan.
Trying to raise money for juvenile diabetes, and Orrin Hatch is a swing vote on some committee. And there is an Orrin Hatch, Senator Orrin Hatch has a song in the movie, and it's on the soundtrack. It's a hidden track. It's on the soundtrack, but it's not listed.
So Jerry Zucker put an Orrin Hatch song on the soundtrack to buy his vote on the juvenile diabetes issue.
How do you buy senators' votes? Oh, I forget.
Fellatio.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't perform it myself.
I know. You have the pool boys come. The Mexican pool boys.
The tile boys.
The tile boys. They can hold their breath for 10 minutes. Need we say more?
Not quite 10 minutes.
So did we do the Mexican pool boy fellatio joke?
We did part one.
I can't wait to do part two. Let's save it.
Yeah, save it. Part two is really funny.
Oh, God. My, look, you know what the high point of my career continues to be? This stupid show continues to be the most pleasurable part of my pathetic comedy career.
Don't say that. It makes me cringe.
Oh, how do you think I feel? Imagine being me. Why don't we all stop?
No!
If you're driving a car, pull over. Imagine being me.
Why do you want to hurt people like that?
Seriously. Why don't they come to my movie, Ken? The teenagers? Make them come.
Well, let's see.
Make them come.
Here's the thing.
The trailer and the poster look silly.
The trailer alienated African Americans. It alienated parents.
Transvestites. Hardly any transvestites are coming.
It alienated young children. Gee, I wonder why people are staying away. It has no sex jokes in it. So, of course, kids who are looking for the next teenage sex comedy aren't going to go.
But everyone that does go loves it.
But it's got that great Orrin Hatch tune in the soundtrack.
You said you enjoyed the movie.
I loved the movie.
You're lying. Hey, your name's in it.
I did love the movie.
You know what? Fans of the show can go and see if they can find and see if they can hear your name. It comes and goes so fast. I tried to put all my friends' names in it.
Did you?
Yeah. But at one point there were tons, including all my kids, and everyone systematically got cut. And now it's down to like three or four names.
What did you do? You just wrote a scene, somebody reading, standing there reading all your friends and family's names.
Yes. No, it would be, hey, my old college alumni bulletin just came in the mail. Let me read off some names of kids I went to school with. Yeah, that scene got cut, Ken.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I wonder why. Joe Afro Whores? That was the first name on the list. Do we have any ideas today?
Yeah, we do have an idea, but I can't remember it because this is the second show we've done in 2 hours. Oh, I remember.
It's almost too much fun.
It's arbitration.
Oh, binding arbitration.
Binding arbitration.
We will settle any dispute between parent and child. If there are parents and children listening.
Your theory was, of course, that 7 Second Delay is a family show.
Yes.
That we've noticed over the years. A lot of parents are listening with their kids.
Because it's dinner hour.
Right.
And every family has some sort of dispute that's going on, an ongoing argument over allowance or curfew or chores that needs to be done. Lots of times parents favor one child over another. I know you favor Daisy over Harry. You always say how much more you love Daisy than you do your son, Harry.
That is not true.
I'm sorry, what?
That is not true. I'm always saying how much more I love Harry and Daisy than your kids.
Oh.
I'm usually talking about what losers your kids are and how my kids are so smart and sharp and funny.
I must have misunderstood.
Yeah.
I thought when you said, I love Harry, I love Daisy, and I'm learning to tolerate Harry, I thought you meant.
No, that's not what I said.
What the hell were we talking
about?
What's
the big dispute between parents and kids at your house?
There's always some this curfews.
I know you don't allow your kids to watch the movies that they want to watch. You seriously restrict which movies your kids can watch.
Yes. As they get older, it loosens up. But yeah, when they were younger, especially, sure. Do you let your kids watch anything they want?
No, but I let them watch a lot.
Harry, your 6-year-old, ever seen an R-rated movie?
I don't know. I took them to see Jurassic Park 3.
What was that rated?
I don't know.
Did they enjoy that?
Yeah. I took them to see Planet of the Apes 2.
How'd you like that?
I thought it was awful.
Yeah.
They liked it.
Did you get the ending? I guess if you didn't see the first one, it looked pretty good.
Yeah, the ending was, you know.
It just looked like they were desperate to find some sort of stupid twist, regardless of whether it made sense. They should study the structure we used in Rat Race.
Oh, yeah, that ending. They just should have had Mark Wahlberg should have landed in the middle of a Smash Mouth concert.
Hey, Smash Mouth in Rat Race? Ooh. When's the next showing?
Boy, that wasn't pandering to the kids.
Didn't seem to work then.
No. They should have put that in the trailer.
You should have told me. If you were my friend, you should have told me Smash Mouth isn't the hippest name we could have gotten. You should have mentioned that. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, no problem. So the idea is we're looking for
parents and kids.
Parents and kids to call if they're having a dispute, and we will arbitrate.
Because you and I are pretty good parents. Our kids are healthy and happy and well-adjusted. Wouldn't you say?
Well, my kids are.
My kids are.
I think if you were a little bit more liberal about, you know, giving your kids a little bit of freedom, then your kids might be better adjusted than they are.
Hey, I drilled some air holes. They can breathe. We're at 201-200-9368. But the deal is this. Both the parent and the kid have to be home, and they both have to agree that they will abide by our decision. We will be firm but fair. But our decision is binding. That's how binding arbitration works. What happens if there's a dispute, like a legal dispute, or there's binding arbitration? They both agree to binding arbitration, both sides. But then after the decision comes down, one side says, you know what? Sorry, I don't agree.
Well, it depends.
I'm not going to do it.
Are you talking about individuals?
I'm talking about like a labor dispute, like a union dispute. What would happen if after the arbitrator makes his decision, one side says, you know, I don't agree. Forget that. We're back on the picket line.
Well,
what are the consequences?
It probably varies quite a bit. It depends whether there's...
You don't know what you're talking about.
Any kind
201-200-9368.
It would depend whether...
Yeah. You just like listen to your lips flap. Flap away, buddy.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It would depend whether there was any kind of enforcement mechanism built into the agreement.
Well, I guess it would have to be.
No, there's not always. Sometimes they forget to put enforcement in.
I guess you only forget once. 201-200-9368. So we're looking for our parents and kids in the kitchen together, listening to the show. Parents and kids listen. It's a family show.
It is not a family show. But there are some parents who are nice and liberal.
Just
and
drag their kids down the stairs and put them on the phone. We are looking for parents and kids that are in the middle of an ongoing dispute. Uncle Ken and Uncle Andy will use all of their parenting skills and experience. Between us, we have how many years of parenting experience? Josh, my eldest, is 18.
Well, you beat me right there.
Okay.
So I have 10.
That's your oldest?
Between Harry and Daisy. Oh. Between the two of them, I have 10 years of parenting experience.
No, how old is your oldest?
6.
Well, then you have 6 years of parenting experience.
No, I'm
You don't...
Man hours.
No, but if they're growing concurrently, you can't add all their hours.
Who said they grew concurrently?
Harry doesn't grow, and then Daisy grows for a week, and then Harry grows for a week. Oh, my God. You are so strict in your house.
How do you do it in your house?
We grow simultaneously.
So what are some recent movies that you have not allowed your children to see? Did you let your youngest see American Pie 2?
I would be very uncomfortable. Wait, my youngest is 13.
You would not let her see American Pie 2?
No, because then I lose the ability to shock her when I give her my sex talk next month. I can't wait to see your little face change.
I would love to hear your sex talk.
Come on over. No, we have seats available.
Okay.
There's still some seats available.
Great.
We actually sell out. We usually sell out well in advance, but I can get you in.
Julie won't be uncomfortable, will she?
We do it in public. I've done it with Josh and Rachel in public. We rent out the school auditorium in our town, and I give my little sex talk to the kids.
How does the sex talk begin?
Well, it begins, actually, I bring out my guitar and I do it for a couple songs. Look, I don't lie. I love the attention. And the sex talk is the big closer.
Yeah.
Okay, we're at 201-200-9368. Carlo, just let him through. Let him through, fat boy. See, let him through.
You know, see, maybe the problem is that not all parents are like you. You really laid a lot of rules down on your kids.
Yes, we like to give them a little structure in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's how our kids give them something to rebel against. What do your kids rebel against?
How old
do you cut off their ecstasy supply?
How old is Rachel?
I don't know.
No, I basically...
How am I supposed to
know? Require that they develop their own ecstasy.
Yeah.
So that it's pure.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't want them buying that stuff on the street.
I know. You don't know where it's been. You don't know how it's been cut.
You don't know how it's been cut. You don't know the kind of people they may come in contact with.
Exactly.
That's why I got them everything they needed to build it.
Their own little kit.
Yeah. Plus, it teaches them about free enterprise.
Seriously.
How old is your middle kid?
I don't know.
16?
Yeah, I guess. She looks like she's around 16.
Did you let her see American Pie Part 2?
I would not. Want her to see American Pie Part 2.
No. How about...
Have you seen American Pie Part 2?
No.
What am I going to do? Drop Rachel off and, hey, honey, here's $8. Go enjoy that scene where the guy is peeing on the other guy's face. Here's $8. Oh, and here's $5 for popcorn. I just can't see it.
Is there a scene where somebody pees on...
Yes. That's an actual scene in American Pie. Don't miss it. Get there early.
But it
Don't miss it. Don't miss it. I am not kidding.
But it has that.
I wish I could. That's the secret.
That's why Rat Race isn't doing better.
I know.
You don't write jokes like that.
There's something. Oh, my God.
Here's a spoon so you can eat my ass.
Eat my ass.
That is humor, Andy.
Well, now if I use it, people think I'm ripping off American Pie. That line's never going to be able to be used now.
You know what? I think we have a problem with this topic.
What?
No calls.
Carlo, put him through. 201-200-9368. We are willing to arbitrate any dispute. Maybe we've been too flippant. We are really good parents. We both care. We're both decent, fair-minded people.
We are both good parents.
We are here to help. If you are having an argument with your kid, wouldn't you like to just give it to a third party and let us decide? 201-200-9368. But it must be binding. We must hear from the parent and the child. They must agree to abide by our decision. Okay, let's put through the calls. Let's take them in order that we receive them.
Okay.
Okay? Call number one. Hello, you're on the air. Hello. You love the show. Did they hang up or were they never there?
They were never there.
Which do you think is sadder, a call that was never there or a call that hangs up just before they go on? Which stings more?
A call that was never there.
I agree. That's the correct answer, my friend, my brother. How many calls do you think we're going to get tonight with a parent and a child?
I don't know, but our record, we're coming up on our record for no calls.
No, the record for no calls is the entire show.
No, it's not. We've never made it through an entire show with no calls.
Do you think
calls.
It's because the boy out there is being too demanding?
No, we told him that we want calls from parents with kids. They don't have to.
Carlo, put anyone through. 201 200 9368. And now it's almost to the point where we ask for your pity calls. I guess a lot of listeners are still on vacation. Some are in their cars. I'm going to just chomp on my gum. This is me in protesting. Just hold up fingers, Carla. Hold up fingers. One. Dear Lord.
Hi, you're on the air.
I'm scared to even say it.
Yes, Andy.
Hey, hi.
Andy, I have a 4-year-old son, and I have a concern.
Okay, let me put on my non-cynical, non-sarcastic voice.
All right.
Go on, sir.
He's. I don't know if I can get him on the air. He's only 4. He's very shy.
But is he listening now?
Yes.
So he knows the radio.
I heard him in the background.
Yeah, he's dying to get on the air.
Then put him on the air.
He knows the radio men are listening.
Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
Yeah, well, he just kind of pulled back.
What is his name?
Elijah.
Now, to someone who's 4 years old, we must carry a lot of weight because we're on the radio.
Well, you guys are older than 4, so you carry weight immediately.
Exactly.
I am.
You're probably taller than him.
I'm taller than 4.
So you've got a lot of weight going.
Okay, and what is your problem you have with Elijah?
He's heavily into the Powder Puff girls.
Power Puff.
Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar
first,
or not.
What's your name?
Captain Jack.
Captain Jack, the first problem is you have to become familiar with what your child is interested in. It's the Power Puff girls, not the Powder Puff girls.
Does your son call you?
You're correct. You're correct, sir.
Does your son
call you? Right away, Elijah probably thinks of you as like an old timer who's really out of it. He doesn't even know the correct way to pronounce the name of the Power Puff girls.
You may have a point, a valid point.
Okay, so let's go on.
I tend to go with powder, you know.
Yeah. How do you know about the Power Puff girls?
Well,
I have a 4-year-old who is also very into the Power Puff girls.
What are the Power Puff girls?
Is it a boy or a girl?
It's a girl.
Okay, the girls I can understand. But on the other hand, we've got the rowdy, rough boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of hoping that he'd lean that way.
You want him to be into, like, G.I. Joes and...
It's not, like, a major concern. I mean, God love him. I love him.
He's going into a brogue.
No matter what happens to him, you know, it's not going to matter. I mean,
but
no matter
that
how
a completely
he turns
false
out
call.
In that kind of context, it's not going
he
to
He has
happen.
A real kid.
So, Captain...
Right, but I can't understand why he's leaning towards the Power Puff, I'm sorry, instead of the Rowdy Rough.
Put your little boy on.
Okay, he's very rough on the phone, so it's going to be quick. Say hi, buddy. Just say hi.
Hi, Elijah.
Hi. Okay, I faked it.
No.
He doesn't want to get off.
He is there,
though. He's getting shy on
Who is his favorite Power Puff girl?
Who's your favorite Power Puff girl?
It would be Buttercup.
All 3 of them. It's a tie.
Yeah. So, Captain Jack, do you seriously have a problem with your 4-year-old son, Elijah, being interested in the Powerpuff Girls?
I just have a mind. I don't know if it's typical. I don't know. He wants everything. He wants Powerpuff Girl, toilet paper.
So you preferred that he was into something more masculine?
On some level, yes. I mean, it's not.
Ken, wouldn't you? Can't you sympathize with
his
parent?
Pardon?
Wouldn't you also be a little uncomfortable? If your son was into Powerpuff Girls?
My son is into Powerpuff Girls.
Because
although not to the exclusion of all other things, though.
But probably he's into it because Daisy, your youngest daughter, is into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is this, like an animated daily
yeah, it's a
show?
Cartoon.
It's a cartoon.
And what do the Powerpuff Girls do?
They beat people up. They're
superheroes.
They're crime fighters.
Have they ever saved the planet?
Yes.
Oh,
well, then I will not sit here and dismiss the Powerpuff Girls. If they're saving the planet, they deserve our gratitude.
It's a good point.
It's more than I've ever done. I know it's certainly more than Ken's ever done. He's sitting here worried about his tile missing on the floor.
Captain Jack, you have to embrace the Powerpuff Girls. You cannot keep Elijah
you might have a point.
From the Powerpuff Girls.
It's just a phase. He's going through it. Now, if he ends up being 29 years old and at Madonna concerts wearing Material Boy t-shirts, then you've got a problem.
Now, remember, Captain Jack, you can control... You know, which medium he enjoys the Powerpuff Girls in. There's action figures, there's books,
there's
coloring books, Pop-Tarts, there's the TV show. You don't have to give him access to all of them. You can pick and choose which ones of those he has access to.
I don't think you can, because if he's at school or hanging with his friends, his little...
He's 4 years old.
Yeah, he's not in school yet. Can't get him, not till another
So year. You still have complete control over this kid.
Yes, but I don't want to guide him away from the Powerpuff Girls.
Now, how about maybe we should suggest the equivalent of you caught smoking a cigarette. Here's a pack of cigarettes. Smoke them all. like maybe we should
overload him
on Powerpuff Girl stuff and just sit down with videotape after videotape until all he wants to do is watch old Mod Squad reruns. Anything.
That's a good idea. Link and all
force,
those.
Force his eyelids open. And
yeah, exactly.
Just like Clockwork Orange.
I made
there you go.
I think we found our solution.
So
I
you
could get him on the air. He's just
well, I think
here.
He heard us, didn't he?
Well, I'll play the tape back for him.
Yeah, you played the tape.
Play it back in 15 years.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
I don't want to be pushing him in the wrong direction. I don't know
I
what
think
the
it's
right
too late
direction
for that.
Is, quite
Buddy,
frankly.
Buddy, it's just too late.
I'm still heavily into sheep. So,
Captain Jack, let him listen to the Powerpuff Girls CD. Let him look at the books. You don't have to let him watch the TV show if you don't want to.
Well, it's not. I don't want to deprive him.
There's a lot of different ways you can give him access to the Powerpuff Girls.
I should tell you this. I did overhear in the lobby of Rat Race after the movie was over a little four-year-old boy saying, Daddy, I love that movie so much, I will never play with girly toys again. So maybe Rat Race is the answer.
It's not a matter of being homophobic or anything like that.
No!
My best friends are, of that persuasion.
Yes, exactly.
They're very creative, wonderful people. And
wonderful people.
That,
very creative.
I didn't know what to do.
Exactly. They're very creative.
Very creative.
Ah, yeah. I hate homophobes.
People. I mean, some of my favorite people.
Exactly.
Lovely, warm people.
Exactly. Very creative.
I just love them.
Love
and,
him too.
You know, it's not a
love
matter of
death.
That. I don't know what to do at this age. I'm trying to single parent the boy.
Okay.
I've never known what to do in this direction. So
but it's not a question.
You helped me out greatly.
That's why we're here, my friend. That's why we're here.
I enjoy your show.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Good luck with you guys.
Okay.
Thank you, Captain Jack.
What percentage of that call was legit?
25%.
Exactly right. He did have a kid.
Yeah.
Exactly right. But
at least
I smelled the rat.
At least we didn't hit the brogue was the fake brogue was the giveaway.
I smelled a brogue. But I guess that call was not a legitimate call. It smelled wrong to me too. But we had to go through it because it might give as an example of the kind of calls we're hoping for.
Yeah, we are looking for genuine disputes between parents and children, and we will attempt to arbitrate.
Binding arbitration. You both must agree. Both sides must agree to follow our advice.
And the phone number is 201-200-93.
I'm sorry, I was just thinking about a scene from Rat Race. Go ahead. You were giving the phone number.
It's 201-200-9368.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, let's take the next call. Hi, you're on the air.
You know, I have a taped program. I do have a 7-second delay that we did on tape.
It actually was a great show we did on tape.
Yeah.
That we could play. Do you want to play a little snippet of it?
We could play it right now.
We could start it. You want to play a little, give people a little taste
of
it?
No, it looks like people are starting to call now.
Oh, God help us. Now that.
Now they just have to get past Carlo.
What's worse than getting no calls on 7-second delay? You give up?
Yes, I give up.
Getting a ton of calls.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, here's the dispute.
First of all, what's your name?
Jeff,
and what's your child's name?
Ben.
Ben, okay.
And what is your name, sir?
His name is Jeff.
And what is the name of the child?
Ben.
Gotcha.
How old is Ben?
Ben is 11.
Okay.
Is Ben there now?
Yes, he is.
Okay. What is the nature of the dispute?
Well, tomorrow is the last day of summer day camp.
Yes, sir.
He doesn't want to go, and I want him to go.
He does not. He has not had fun at this camp.
Have you had fun at the camp? Sort of.
Okay, Jeff, why do you feel that it's so important for him to go to the last day of summer day camp?
Well, my wife has the shopping expedition plan with friends, mm-hmm. and I have something I'm planning to do.
I see.
So we wanted him to go to camp. So that
is what you have planned to do work-related, or is it a pleasure
Recreation.
Trip? Recreation. Mm-hmm. And how long has he been going to this camp?
All summer. I guess it's like 5 weeks already.
Are other kids taking the last day off?
Is anybody else taking the last day off? Oh, yeah, lots of people, he says.
So he says, we'd like to talk to the boy.
Okay, hold on.
What's the boy's name?
Ben.
Hello?
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Ben, this is Uncle Andy and Uncle Ken.
Hi.
Ben, do you agree that no matter what Uncle Andy and Uncle Ben decide, you're going to do?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us your side of the story. You've been going for 5 weeks?
Yeah.
Have you had fun?
Sort of. There's lots of things that I don't like about it, though.
Okay. And is there one thing in particular that you're dreading about tomorrow?
Not really. It's just that it's like the last day, and I don't see that there's a reason to go.
that they don't have any kind of special thing planned for the last day?
There's no color war. There's events.
Color war ended yesterday. My team lost.
Okay, but you went to all those days.
Yeah.
And do you have friends that are definitely not going to be going tomorrow?
Yeah.
What would you like to do tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Yeah, if you could do anything tomorrow, what would you do?
Suppose we said you could stay home, but you have to. You can't block your parents' plans. You have to either accompany your parents, or you have to go to a friend's house for the entire day. Would you agree to that? You can't make your parents stay home to take care of you tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Do you have a friend that you could call that you could be there the entire day as long as you'd the same number of hours you'd be at camp?
No.
Could you go with your mom on her little shopping spree?
No.
Could you go with your dad? He's going to like some strip bar or something?
I don't know. Maybe.
Ask your dad where he's going.
Dad, where are you going now?
Climbing a mountain.
He's climbing a mountain.
Ask if you can be tied to the end of the rope.
Dad.
Where is he going?
Climbing a mountain.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I have someone like
Who could you stay with?
My uncle.
Does he live nearby and he could take you for the whole day?
Yeah.
Would you rather do that or go to camp? That's your choice.
I'd stay with my uncle.
You would stay with your uncle before you go to camp?
Yeah.
Is that okay with your dad?
Sure.
Yeah.
We have solved the problem.
There you go. You're with your uncle. You could bring over some videotapes.
Yeah.
You could bring over, if you're in the middle of, you could bring a video game. Does he have a video game to play?
Yeah, okay.
There you go. It's done, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw your movie last night.
And what did you think?
It was really funny.
Big thumbs up. Yep. I love this kid.
Not like sheep.
Exactly. Like you're not like sheep. You go to, you know what, Ben? What? I've just changed my mind. You can do whatever the hell you want tomorrow. The house is yours.
Okay.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
That was a swell kid.
You know what a part of that phone call I liked the best?
The part where he said he liked your movie?
Yeah, the endorsement from Ben.
Yeah.
You'll see that quote in the ad starting next week.
I think his quote was, it was really funny.
Yeah.
That counts a lot because, you know, he's not a professional
Originally, the movie
critic.
Was not intended to be funny, but at the test screenings, people laughed so much, we decided to call it a comedy.
Uh-huh.
Cover our asses.
Yeah.
Always thinking.
Originally, it was supposed to be like an art flick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
It's called Pierced Nipples.
That's right, Ken. Pierced Nipples.
I think it was a good decision to remarket it as a comedy.
The career's in the crapper, but it ain't been flushed. We'll see what happens this weekend.
Hey, top grossing non-sequel last weekend.
Top grossing non-sequel with the Afro Hordes joke in the first 10 minutes.
What a mistake that was.
In hindsight, you're not. It was certainly a mistake to put it in the trailer.
Yes,
sir. Perhaps you were right there.
Yes, sir, Bob. I bet the producer feels pretty stupid about that.
Yeah. Well, it's just great to hear the phrase, yes, sir, Bob, used again.
Yeah. So we still have 20 minutes to go here.
Oh, Lord.
Phone number is 201-200-9368. We're offering binding arbitration.
Hey, we actually solved that problem, didn't we?
Yeah.
We sort of found a middle ground.
I don't know what the parents' problem was there.
What Clinton would call a third way.
I don't know why he couldn't have figured that out himself.
Exactly.
Maybe we should call Dyfus or something. He sounds like an incompetent parent.
Who's Dyfus?
Uncle Dyfus.
Who the hell is that?
He's the guy who comes by and takes care of incompetent parents.
What reference is that? What are you referring to?
Department of Family Services.
They call that Uncle Dyfus?
No, that's what some people call it.
Who?
People who use it a lot.
Name one person who would know that reference. Uncle Dyfus.
Okay, it's not Uncle Dyfus. It's just Dyfus.
What is that, an acronym or something?
I don't know.
What the hell? Are you on ecstasy?
No, I don't. I have never tried ecstasy, unlike you.
I've never tried it.
Who not
never
only
never been stoned or drunk. I've never even been overtired.
Except for this one time.
Okay, we gotta have a call. 201-200-9368.
Carlos got the thing down. He's got the thing
down.
Yeah,
he's finally. He's not coming in with his little pieces of paper. Hi. Hey, you're on the air.
Hey,
you love the show.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Sam.
Hey, Sam, how old are you?
13.
Hey, Sam, what's your name?
Sam.
And Sam, what's the problem with your parents?
Well, how old are you, like 12, 11, 12?
He said 13.
13.
My dad won't let me go to see a rat race.
Get out.
Yeah, this is a setup, but I do love it. It's another chance to plug my little movie. Now, seriously, do you have a problem with your parents?
He won't want to see a rat race.
Oh, because he's scared off by the trailer?
What?
Well, if that's a serious problem, I'm telling you, parents, once they're there, find the movie completely safe and perfectly appropriate.
Oh, come on. You wouldn't let your own kids see Rat Race.
My 13-year-old has seen Rat Race 8 times.
Yeah, of course, because it's your movie.
Oh, yeah. No, there's nothing in it that is any problem. You tell your dad that the writer gave you his assurance.
All right.
Okay.
Wait a second.
We'll see you there.
Sam, there's a whole bunch of what they call imitative behavior. There's things that people do in the movie that
you can't do at home. But Sam's not an idiot.
You wouldn't want kids to imitate that kind of behavior.
Sam is not an idiot. Sam knows. Sam, do you have friends that have seen the movie?
No.
Including, like, you know, sticking your butt out the car window and going.
There's nothing like that. Oh, there is.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, yeah. The classic stick your butt out the car window.
Jumping up and down on the beds.
Oh, yeah. That's terrible. Jumping up and down on beds. Sam, you're going to see it, and you're going to love it, okay?
There's a scene with a prostitute. In fact, then the prostitute becomes quite a prominent character at
the
end of
the movie. Every 13-year-old has experience with prostitutes already, Cam. Okay, you're going to go, you're going to see the movie, and you're going to tell all your friends, okay?
All right.
The writer of the movie is telling you can go.
Okay.
Can we talk to your mom or dad now?
Okay.
Okay.
There's my dad.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? What's your name?
My name is Steve.
Hey, Steve, are you really concerned about, you saw the trailer and you got a little concerned about it?
It's the reviews that I read.
Oh, but you know, it really is pretty appropriate for kids. There are a couple of little moments, but they go right over the kids' heads.
But what about the whole TV guide? Their take on the movie was that it was a bad reproduction of a Mad, Mad World.
Well, most audiences that have seen it have just loved it. The exit polls are just, you know, way over the top. People just love it. It is true. It has some structural similarities in that that's only because I ripped off the story entirely.
Structural similarities.
Yeah.
Andy.
Yeah.
We wouldn't miss the movie for anything.
There you go.
Just moving on, yeah.
Oh, there you go. You had me scared.
No, the real issue is, and they've been bugging me about this. I have two boys here. One's 16. The other one's 13.
Yeah.
I've never given them allowance. And they believe that they're entitled to an allowance.
Listen, if they need money to see Rat Race, I don't think there's even a question. But how do they have money? What, do they have to do chores to earn money?
That's right. It's not a free world, is it?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's not really disputed.
Well, what kind of chores? But suppose they are in a situation where they need some money, and it turns out they didn't get around to doing their chores. Do you advance them some money occasionally?
Well, what happens is most of the times what happens if we're somewhere and they need something, you know, right away.
Yeah.
That's where the issue becomes, you know, because they want it right then.
And then you have to decide whether to advance them the money.
Yeah, yeah.
But they sound like great kids, and I'm sure they do the chores eventually.
They never miss your show.
They never miss
the
show.
We're one of those families that listen to it every week.
I think they deserve an allowance just for that.
I think so. A couple of bucks. Throw them a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
I think that you should offer them a baseline allowance, and then, you know, if they do chores, give them money on top of that.
Yeah. Well, I believe that, you know, there's you know, you have to work for it, and it's just not doled out.
That's crazy talk.
Everything else that goes along in life, like skiing.
Yeah.
You know, and beach trips and things like that, that's really part of the allowance.
Well, I'm glad they don't share that opinion in Hollywood where I work.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
So do you have any more calls?
I don't think.
No, are you kidding me?
It's pretty.
Because I don't want to milk, you know.
You don't want to take up all the other callers' time.
Right,
let's talk to one of your kids again.
Okay, I'll give you the oldest one now. All right.
I can't believe it.
That was Sam you were talking to.
Okay. No allowance. Do you give your kids allowance?
Yeah, I give them allowance.
Whether they do chores or not.
Here's Joe.
Hey Joe, how much allowance do you think would? So you've grown. You're 16 years old. You've never seen any allowance.
Nope.
How much allowance do your friends get, and what do you think would have been fair?
They usually get like $20 a week, 25.
Holy moly. What do you give your kids, Ken?
75 cents.
Do you really?
Yes.
So you just taunt them. Here's some money. It's not enough to buy anything. Go out into the world.
They're 4 and 6 years old.
You know what we've always given our kids?
What?
We give them $1 per grade. So if they're in fifth grade, they got $5. If they're in sixth grade, they got $6. When they were in seventh grade, they got $7. When they went to eighth grade, they got $8. When they graduated eighth grade and went to ninth grade, they got $9.
And then what happened?
Then in 10th grade, $10. And then 11th grade, $11, and et cetera. I don't have to go through every grade. 12th grade, $12.
Yeah, and now that your oldest is going to become a freshman in college, now what are you going to do?
Now we give him a broom, and now we're doing what this guy's father is claiming he does. So what kind of chores did you have to do your whole life growing up?
Well, pretty much whatever they asked, I did.
Yeah, no matter how long it takes.
You're mowing lawns. Is that right? You were mowing the back, right? Mowing the lawn.
Cleaning rooms.
It's like about how much per hour would you say they pay you for the chores that you have to do?
If you mowed the lawn, how much was your allowance?
Zero. I never got
one. I'm sorry. If you mowed the lawn, what could you?
Wait, your dad just told us that he gives you money for doing chores. Is that not true?
No.
You mean you have to mow the lawn just to live in the house, just to pay basic rent in effect?
I mow the lawn because he tells me to.
And then how do you have money, say, to go to the mall or go to the movies? Say, to see Rat Race.
I have a job.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. Oh, I like this, Father. I have no problem with this. I think we give our kids, in our house, we give our kids money too easily. Mary and I sometimes disagree about it.
Hmm. Well, you can always back tax them.
Yeah, retroactively. Take allowances back. Thanks. This call has changed my life.
Start selling off their stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see you on eBay. All right, hey, so what movie are you going to go see? Do you have friends that have seen Rat Race?
You got to stop plugging your movie.
Oh,
already.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm seeing Rat Race.
Oh, okay. Thanks very much. I can't mention it anymore.
7:30, General Cinema.
Yeah, okay. I can't mention it anymore. Yeah, Clifton, that's the place to go. Be there or be square. Or in the case of Rat Race, be there and be square.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I know that you have rules at the station.
We didn't arbitrate anything there.
Because I think there was a weird call. I don't know if he really was looking to change his system. He seemed set in his ways.
Yeah, he wasn't going to change it for anything. He was quite proud of the fact that he doesn't give his kids a dime.
Well, you are worse than that guy. 75 cents. It is torture for a kid. Here, you could go out and put a down payment toward that comic book you want.
They're 4 and 6 years old.
6 years old, they have wants. He wants stuff.
They've saved up these 75 cents a week. They have quite a bit of money.
Has your son bought?
They're not even in first. They're not even in first grade. You know, when they're in first grade, I can give them $1.
Oh, that's true.
The Breckman rule. They're not even. You know, they're in preschool and kindergarten. I'm giving them 75 cents.
You think you know the Breckman rule pretty down pat?
Yeah. I think
okay. Here's a little quiz. Okay. Pop
right.
quiz.
All right.
When our kids were in fifth grade, how much money did we give them every week?
$5.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you might not have been listening.
I was listening.
So I guess that's all the time we have.
It's a really ridiculous rule, the Breckman rule.
Why? Well, the thing about it is that our kids often go a whole week without doing a lot of chores, and I feel like they're not learning responsibility.
Yeah, I don't know. $10 a week for a 10th grader.
Well, for
a 15-year-old, $10 a week.
Well, they babysit. I mean, they augment their income.
Yeah,
just like true. You do. I mean, there's no way you could be buying this lakefront property if you haven't been moonlighting somehow.
I've been selling a little bit of ecstasy.
I know.
I don't manufacture it myself.
I know. Honey, we're gonna have to wait till the next marathon to put that down payment down.
I suppose you're going to fault me for that, too.
No, you're just human. You have needs.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk to our next caller. You're on the air.
There is no next caller.
Okay, very funny. Hardy, har, har. Hi, you're on the air.
The phone number here is 201-200-9368.
Okay, don't look at the phone bank now, Ken.
You know I hate?
The blinding lights will blind you. Yes.
I hate that Rowan Atkinson.
He's funny.
I hate him.
No, he's funny.
I don't think so.
He's one of the funniest things in Rat Race.
I hated him in Rat Race.
No.
He was the worst thing about Rat Race.
You're not serious.
I am serious. I can't stand that guy.
He's so funny. Didn't you like Mr. Bean?
No, I hated Mr. Bean. You know why?
Because he brought pleasure to so many people?
No, because he was played by Rowan Atkinson.
Didn't you like him in Four Weddings and a Funeral as the nervous priest?
He wasn't in that.
Oh, yeah, except for the scene with Rowan Atkinson. He wasn't in that.
I saw the director's cut. The director hates him more than I do.
Rowan Atkinson is hysterical. You know what kills me? I told him all about you, and he just loved hearing about you and wants to meet you.
Really?
He loves you. He's a big fan of the station.
You know what? I don't care.
He's so funny.
I guess they must like him in France or something.
Yeah, that must be it. They like him in France. Where do they like us? France.
No, they don't
Guam.
Like us. They don't like us in France.
They love us in Guam.
You know what? We don't go over big anywhere.
I hear we're very big in Guam. You know, when I used to open for Don McLean,
yeah,
he used to always talk about how big he was in Israel and Finland.
Really? He was proud of that?
And those were, he used to talk about, he says, when I go to Israel, it's front page news. Hmm. When I land, when the plane touches down, it's front page news.
Well, I guess he gets the last laugh because American Pie, the movie.
What the hell are you talking about?
He must get residuals on that or something.
Don McLean?
Yeah.
Why?
He must get some money from the fact that...
For the title, American Pie?
Well, Madonna re-recorded American Pie. It probably, you know, it probably increased sales
you think
all
he
over
gets,
again.
Well, that's true. He made some money from the Madonna recording, but I don't think he sees a nickel.
From the movie?
Because they used the name American Pie?
Oh, I bet he might.
You can't copyright a name.
Oh, no?
I don't think you can. Wait, isn't that a common expression, American Pie?
I don't think so.
You mean before Don McLean, nobody used the term American Pie?
I don't know. What did it mean?
Can I claim that for Rat Race? No one used the term
That was race? A term before the stupid movie.
Wait. Do you mean no one used... There was no term American Pie prior to 1971 or whenever that song was recorded?
I am not aware of it. What did it mean? Prior to the Don McLean song, what did the term American Pie mean?
Bye-bye, you drive your Chevy to the levee.
That's the song.
American Pie.
Yeah, he put those two words together.
No, it's as American as apple pie.
Well, that's not American pie. As American as apple pie is it?
Does somebody have a book, a lexicon? What kind of book would tell us
I don't know.
Whether American pie was in existence as a phrase prior to Don McLean?
Somebody go on the internet and find out.
American pie. American as apple pie.
My point here is that you've spent a lot of time making fun of Don McLean.
Yeah.
But he gets the last laugh.
A brother? Well, everyone I ever make fun of gets the last laugh.
Okay.
Everyone I've ever met.
All right, you're right. I'm sorry.
That's one of the joys of knowing me. I guarantee you, I will tease you, I will taunt you, but my promise to you, you will have the last laugh.
You're absolutely right.
I know.
That's very big of you.
Exactly. That's my guarantee to anyone who is even considering becoming my friend. But I'm curious about that American Pie thing.
I don't think it existed.
You think he coined the phrase American Pie, and then the producers of the movie had to pay to use that phrase?
I'm not sure that they had to pay him to use the phrase, but I think that he has probably benefited greatly from the popularity of those two movies. That is my point.
And by popularity, you mean beating the pants off of Rat Race?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Ken. My friend Ken Friedman. That's an example. My friend getting the last laugh. 201-200-9368.
It wasn't a laugh. But one of these weeks, one of these seven-second delays coming up, I do get off something kind of resembling a zinger.
You do? The one we pre-recorded?
Yeah.
I'll give the setup and see if people
can guess.
No.
Turn your microphone off.
Why?
No!
Oh, I love that sound. Oh, it's like medicine. Oh, it's like a sweet anecdote. Antidote. Listen to it.
Is it like an epidural?
Oh, shut up.
Have you ever had one?
Shh, I'm listening. It's so sweet. It's like that scene in Marathon Man where Dustin Hoffman was in pain from the dental work.
Oh, and then he
put on the bomb. The
cloves. Wow.
It's like cloves.
Wow, cloves really.
On an open wound.
They really kill the pain, boy. No, we're still open for more calls.
No, we are not.
Keep calling. 201. No, I thought you didn't want Carlo to come in here.
Oh, he doesn't bother me so much.
201-200-9368.
It works out actually pretty well, because by this point in any show, I'm beyond being bothered. I'm beyond pain.
So next week, are
just
we
your, next week I'll be your pinata again. That's why I'm here, my friend.
You're such a good pinata.
That's why I'm here. Just hang me from your stupid tree. Give, whack me around for an hour.
But who's in charge of filling you up with candy? That's the person I need to have a
just
word
a
with.
Metaphor, Ken. We're going to have to talk about metaphors. So are you going to be spending time really putting this tile back together?
Yes.
So this week I have the last laugh. Perfect.
Some laugh. Are we pre-recording another show next week?
Yeah, that was perfect. We'll have all these shows in the bank, and then if my plan works, we can take months and months off sometime soon.
Boy, you're lucky students.
Yeah, my lucky students.
You're lucky students at that Ivy League college.
Yeah. Hey, it's a good question, Larry. Let me tell you how we solve that problem in Rat Race.
American Pie was the name of Buddy Holly's airplane.
Oh.
Okay.
There you go.
The one that he died in.
I don't think he died in his own plane.
I think so.
No, he didn't. It was like the Big Bopper rented it.
Then why is the song, why does it go Bye Bye Miss American Pie?
Oh, yeah.
If it's not his plane, if they crashed something.
Well, didn't this caller give us more information?
I don't know.
Isn't it the plane that crashed?
This came from Carlo. I don't know if this comes from a caller.
He just made out. He might be sitting out there doing ecstasy. Doing some of your ecstasy. Your uncut.
How do you know it's my uncut ecstasy?
It's your uncut ecstasy.
It might be your street ecstasy.
Isn't ecstasy a funny word? I guess we just proved it it's not. Well, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we will. Coming up next, it's a special encore presentation of the Audio Kitchen with the professor. This is WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount
Hope. This is
Hope.
WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope.
And WFMU.org.
And
no, this is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. And it's not the Audio Professor. Audio Kitchen with the Professor up next. It's Radio Vert with Nicole. So stay tuned for one. Stay tuned for that.
When I was 12, my father, who was white, told me that black women couldn't appreciate good wine. "Just look, Isaiah, at that grape juice your mother drinks," he said, pointing with his mustard-smeared knife at the bottle on my mother's kitchen counter. The cork was wrapped in gold foil, tied with a wisp of pink ribbon. "Sweet Moscato," the label said in soft, curling font like a lady's handwriting. My mother always liked sweet things. Even then, I knew it was not the wine's sweetness that my father objected to. It was its femininity. My mother had failed him in that regard. He had married her hoping for a strong black woman, a spear-wielding warrior goddess, an ebony idol with a spine of steel. Instead, he got a princess. My mother was astonishingly handsome, tall, even in stocking feet, though she never went out without heels. Her cheekbones were prominent, sharp, and along with her soft, fleshy nose, a slightly paler bronze than the rest of her face, she looked like the metal statue of a queen that had children had rubbed for luck. She wore pink and lace, layers and high necklines, and pearls. She had a particular strand of pearls that my father took as a personal affront. This was at a time when genuine pearls had to be off-white, gold, or ivory, sometimes pink. My mother's choker was pure snowfall white, glaring. They looked fake. I think Father thought they were fake, but they weren't. They were genuine and worth more than the car he drove to and from the chain of liquor stores that he managed. Remembering my mother, I can almost understand my father's confusion, his general impression that he had been cheated. My mother did not look like a princess. For one thing, she was skinny. Not trim or slender, but honest-to-God Vogue model skinny, with thighs you could cup in one hand. Maybe two hands. She had small hands. I have huge hands, 11 piano keys hands, and my thighs take four hands to circle. My mother had no breasts to speak of.